God bless each one that's here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I would just mention briefly about the meetings that Henry talked about and the preaching part of the conference, that it was very good. You have opportunity, just really encourage you to listen to the messages. Brother Luke had two messages, and title of the first one, you remember the title of the first one, anybody? Understanding the Call to Leadership, and that's good for everybody. He really, like we'd say, plain language, that he really shelled out the corn. Got down to the meat and potatoes, and then the next one was when correction is needed. And Brother Roy had a very good topic, and right in the corner where you are. So I encourage y'all to listen to that. And I feel sorry for whoever couldn't be there. It was just that good. And the food, and we were all real, well, we just say we're at home. We're real proud of Brother Roy and his family and Todd and Rochelle for the way they served and took care of everybody. Now, back home. And I felt like I went from a mountaintop experience to probably a valley in my life pretty quick. And then felt I knew I was on the schedule to preach here. And I had in mind what I wanted to talk about. And it was one of those that Henry's not ashamed to say that when he preaches a sermon the second time. And I really doubt anybody remembers, or many people at all remember, maybe Keith does, when I talked about the promises of God. Promises of God. And you know, folks, we come to times in our life when that's all we have to hang to cling to. It's just the promises of God. The feelings are gone sometimes, and we get to the end of our strength. That's all there is to cling to, is the promises of God. And so I was thinking, I preached this sermon a number of years back, and I know that God was thinking, listen here, Sam, you're going to need this and more up there than what you needed it back in 2018. And that's the way I feel about it. Preaching should, you know, I'll just say this here because, yeah, we do use the same set of notes different times. And when I go away to preach for revivals, like plan to go tomorrow, I don't come up with a new message for every night. But until the fire from that message burns in my heart, it probably won't burn in anybody else's. And so, you know, to pray once and preach twice has never worked very well. And I will say I thank God because I woke up this morning with a sense of His presence and with a quiet time with Him. And I feel like it was a connection with the God of the Bible, as we heard in our devotion. The promises of God. And there was a song that caught my attention and brought the burden of this message. And I wish we had a projector here and could put it up and everybody help sing it. Go to the deeps of God's promise. Ask freely of Him and receive. All good may be had for the asking, if seeking, you truly believe. Go to the deeps of God's promise. There's wideness of meaning untold in the promises given His people and the treasures they ever unfold. Beautiful, beautiful song. Well, a promise, we know what a promise is. I'm sure the children know what promises are. If your daddy promises you that he's going to get you a BB gun, you don't forget it, do you? Children, you wouldn't forget that. This front row is wanting something a little bigger than that, but we remember promises, and if your daddy tells you that, there's something about it, you believe it, don't you? Because you've learned to trust your dad. He wouldn't have told you if he wouldn't have meant it and if he wouldn't have done it. Well, the goal of this message is to help us get a fresh look at God, and then we will be able to rest in His promises. The goal is to help us to go to the deeps of God's promise. You know, there are promises in life that are not to be trusted. I still remember where we were traveling. Sarah and I were, and that's beside the point. We were traveling, and the phone rang. And I guess I was a little bored. I could tell it was a telemarketer, but I took it anyway and started chatting with him. He was going to bring me $1 million and a brand new car this afternoon to my place, to my house. And I was just amazed, you know. I'd led him on pretty well. And he assured me, yes, I will be there. And finally he told me what he needed so that he could get it there. Anyway, I finally told him that I'm not as crazy as he thinks I am. But I knew that that promise could not be kept. It would not be kept. I didn't put any confidence in it at all. Some promises have no backing. Some people promise things that they're not even able to pay back. But I want to emphasize that God will do what He said He will do. And number two, that you can trust Him. God will do what He said, and number two, you can trust Him. It's that simple. When there's nothing else to hang to, you can hang on His promises. And so I wanted to think a little bit about promises that He made to men in the Bible. We'll get to a text in just a little bit. But I thought about Noah. God promised Noah, He said, there's going to be a flood. And I'm Genesis 6th chapter. You're welcome to turn to that. Yes, please follow along. Genesis 6:17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, is God speaking, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And over in chapter 7, verse 16, and they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. God promised Noah there's going to be a flood, and it happened. And here we see an important thing about when God speaks to us and God tells us what to do. We should never draw back. We should never question. But we need to obey and obey immediately because God's word is true. And Noah obeyed. Abraham was another one. Turn on over to Genesis 12. This one really intrigued me again. Genesis 12, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will. Boy, you think about when God says, I will, what does that do for you? I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them, him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, you think about Abraham there. At this point, he was about 75 years old, and no children, and God promising all this. Over in chapter 15, it's about 10 years later, still no children, only a promise. He had defeated the Sodom, the king of Sodom, and couple other kings just before that. And the king of Sodom wanted to give him some rewards. And he said, Abraham said, I don't want even down to a shoestring from you. It's yours. Keep it. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in 15. Now, this was 10 years later, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I like that because he had just been offered a reward earlier and he didn't take it. And God said, I'll give you your rewards, Abram. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of thy house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Where is that promise? 10 years ago, an old man, he was older than me, older than I am right now, and God promised him a child and he didn't have any. And then 10 years later, God comes to him again, and Abram's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't have anybody yet. You haven't given me a child. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And now listen to the next verse. And Abram believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Well, and he said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And I hope we can get a concept of the greatness of our God and the God who has given us promises today and how that we need to cling to Him and believe the promises that He's given. Chapter 16 was the carnal plan. Steal not the seed that God had promised him. Chapter 17, Abraham was now 99 years old. And when Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name in any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Well, we know the story then, and Abraham laughed, and that just struck me in verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and we know that Sarah saw some humor in it too. But this great God was able to do what he said he was going to do. That's the point. And many others in the Bible could be mentioned. But I want us to see the promises of God, that the promises of God are not only stories in the Bible. We know the book. Thank you, Stephen, for that devotion this morning. We know the book. We read the accounts, and we know where to turn to for Scripture. I think God's people ought to be so familiar with the book, especially as you get older and you have opportunity to read it more and more, that when somebody reads a passage of Scripture, you should almost automatically know, well, at least what section of the Bible that's coming out of. And we need to learn that. But I wanted to emphasize this morning that it's more than a story. This is God's word to us. He still has promises to you and I today. When the whole world is falling apart, we can still cling to the promises of God. And He gives promises to us today, and we still must be like Abraham and choose, will we believe it? I don't know how that old man, he was older than me, so I call him an old man, looked out on that starry night, and he saw the stars. God said, Abram, can you count them? Well, no. And, well, that's the way your offspring is going to be. And Abram believed. That's what we want. Now, turn to Ephesians 1 for a text. Ephesians verse 15 through 22. I would call Ephesians 1:19 could be called the text, but I want these surrounding verses. Follow along, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see that in verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Who believe? And all the things that he's told us, and to believe in who he is and what he can do and how he cares for his people. This is what he wants from us. On over in Ephesians 3, verse 20, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I want to tell you that all is a big word. All is a big word. It's a huge word. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unto him be glory. According, and I like to think about that. It talks about according to the working of his mighty power. Talking about the greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I don't know if I could illustrate this like I would like to. But you know what happens when you get something stuck? If your car gets stuck, you can get, you know, maybe something real small, maybe even almost the smallest tractor you have would probably be easy to just pull it out according to the power that the tractor has to pull it out. But if you get bogged in, I remember a number of years ago, it was a wet spring and we got bogged in so bad we wound up with several big pieces of equipment and chains this way and cables and it was according to the power that this had to get this out. And so I like to see us who are here, weak, needy, frail creatures, but he is here to help us according to his power that he has. And what he has is so far and up and beyond any comparison of anything we can imagine. But isn't it hard sometimes to cling to that when we feel like our whole world has fallen apart, when we feel like everything has gone wrong, and we have nothing left to cling to but the promises of God? But he is there according to his power to help his children, and he will give us what we need. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 through 4. I have a number of verses this morning. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Is there any reason, is there any Is there any good excuse for wallowing in sin, following the old downward course of nature? No, when He gives us so we can be partakers of the divine nature through Him, according to His power. That's what He wants us to be partakers of. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. And verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And we've already discussed that. We went across all that, the promises made to Abraham. And we know that God keeps His promise. He kept His promise. Acts 13, 22 and 23. Acts 13. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David. Now this is talking about when Saul was king, and he removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And of course, we could go back to Abraham again when God promised a seed. And Jesus was foretold to be of that seed, and through David would come the Messiah. And here again, this is the promise of God, and we see the fulfillment, the truth of it. It happened exactly as God said it would. Can we trust God? Can we trust God? Thank you. He's an all-powerful, eternal, none like Him, everywhere present. He's all-knowing. He's the creator of life. He sent the Redeemer. He's the Father of mercies. He loves righteousness and He hates iniquities. And He has never failed His word. And still today, He's inviting us to come to Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I might give you rest. I will, thank you. I will give you rest. That's easy to say that verse on Sunday morning, isn't it? Sometimes during the week and in the middle of the night, it doesn't come near that easy to believe that He will. Romans 4, I'm skipping around and jumping back on Abraham again. Romans 4:21 says, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, that what God had promised, God was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed, it was put on His account for righteousness. And now the key of all this is that we need to have that faith like Abraham had, where we believe God. Titus 1, verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast. So I ask you today, where are we? Where are you in your walk with God? You know, sometimes on our inside, we're not what we appear to be on the outside. You know, I like to make sure I look like I've got everything together. And I'm not suggesting that I go around putting on a front all the time, but I'm just telling you the weakness of a human of us humanity. We don't have everything together as good as we appear sometimes, do we? And sometimes inside we feel like we're falling apart, but I want to assure you that God is there. His promises are true and you can trust Him and we can walk forward in confidence. I assure you, if you look around and if you overfeed on the news today, you'll be in trouble. We have enough of troubles keeping our minds right and keeping our focus right without overfeasting on the news. We need to feast on the news of the Word of God. I read recently about a man that he used to watch the liberal news, read it, listen to it, watch it. And he felt like they were right. They were right. But you know what he did? He decided, you know what, I'm gonna go over to the, you know, to the Fox side and listen to that to see what they say about all this. And he listened in a while and finally he's like, they're right. I want to tell you that what you feed on is what you're going to believe. And if you feed on all the fightings today, everything that's just as happened last week, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Israel, U.S., Iraq, Iran, and the list of problems in the nations could go on, and this is what the world is feeding you, this is what the news feeds have, and it will cause trouble to your soul. I think we need to know what's going on, but never forget that God's in control, and He's promised. I think I just jumped way ahead of my notes there, but that's okay. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. What more can we want? Why not keep our eyes on Him? Instead of all the news feeds of today, why would we fear? If we have eternal life coming, why are we troubled? Do we really believe in the promises when we let the waves of life crash over us? I heard somebody say the worst, you know, why should we fear? The worst that anybody could do to us would be to kill us, and that's the gateway to eternal life for us as Christians. Why would we fear? Well, I want to look at a number of things yet that we've been promised. And I don't know if you like the first one. I didn't, but that's what I have here. What have we been promised? John 16:33. Turn to it. So you know that I didn't make it up. You probably have it in your memory anyway, but I want to hear the music of the Bible pages. John 16, verse 33. These things, remember, this was a big discourse just before the crucifixion, right before the end. It's amazing how by the time you're at John 13th chapter, you're almost at the end of Jesus' life. But he'd given a discourse on so many, many things. And then he said, these things I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. Did he promise? Did he say you will? Here's what he promised. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the wicked one. So I said the first thing on my list that we've been promised is hard times. Probably shouldn't have mentioned that one first. But I want these young people and the children even to learn that life isn't always going to be as easy for you as you have it right now. It wasn't that long ago I was there. Little did I realize how good I had it to be able to just go home with mom and dad. And, you know, of course, I helped with the work and we ate the meals and the responsibilities were way over my head and they were theirs. And little did I realize that was probably the easiest time of my life. And that's a preparation for what's coming when you hit the real world. That's why your parents trying to help you see, we'll get to work and do a day's work. And this is the real world. Be ready for the difficult things that come. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. There are going to be hard times. You will never get by with always being handled the easy things of life in a bouquet of flowers and sweet little cards, and that's all that you're ever going to get, those sweet little things. No, you'll grow up, many of you will get married, and there'll be sickness, there'll be children with deformities, ailments, there'll be cancer, there's accidents, there's all kinds of things, plus the pressure of life, of keeping, of finances and relationships, all those things. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and I want you to have peace, and you can have peace in me. It's right there in that same verse. Okay, ready for tribulation. Parents, you won't be able to make an interstate highway for your children with all fun and pleasure along the way. And I think the sooner we help them to learn to handle life, the better they will be, and we will be. I've just heard recently, and I'm probably way behind the times, but I've just heard recently what's called gentle parenting. And I need to read up on it some more, because from what I heard of it, the name isn't, what they're promoting isn't what the name says on the surface. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. That's a promise. Deceptive times like never before. And I've already talked about on a very broad scale world scene, I didn't even mention Ukraine and Russia. It's been gone on over 4 years now. Nearly 2 million people killed. Perilous times. Deceptive times like never before. There has never been a period in history that I'm aware of where deception is so rampant. And Jesus, so faithfully, when he talked about end times, he'd say, beware that no man, take heed that no man deceives you. And today, it's hard to tell what is fake and what is real, like never before. And even on, you go on the artificial intelligence, you don't know if that's true or not. I did a little study not too long ago about different church groups, the formation of different church groups. And I could ask about the Nationwide, the Fellowship movement, about Eastern, Southeastern, Pilgrim. And, oh, there's plenty there. I'll tell you about it. But I want to tell you, as one that has been there, they didn't have everything right. Some would say one thing, some would say another thing. And then you can ask them Bible questions. What does the Bible teach? I don't just say, don't waste your time. Get the Bible and see what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. But I'm saying all that to say that we are in very deceptive times, and we need to know the truth and stand upon it. Well, number two, we've been promised peace and our needs supplied. John 1:79 is where, was it the angel talking? Yeah, I forget the exact setting, but it was about Christ coming. In John, the first chapter, you know it's before his birth. And he promises that he will guide our feet in the way of peace. This is Jesus. It was promised. He will guide our feet. And that's the key. We have to let him guide our feet. If we don't, we'll go wrong. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And in Christ is the only path to peace. Christ is the source of peace. God is the God of peace. And I say, if peace is not in our heart, then we need more of God. At least that's the way I find it. When I start losing that peace, when I start feeling that frustration, when I start feeling that tension, that's when I need more of God. Because when God is there, he's a God of peace. There's peace, though the world be raging, as the song goes, in the shelter of his arms. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And his peace is available even when we don't know how we will make it. But my God shall supply all your need. And that all, again, is a very big word. We've been promised, number three, we've been promised his presence. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can you get that into your heart? Can you grasp it in your soul? I will never leave thee, he says. People get old. I think about the people that were huge in my life, and they got old, and they passed away. They passed on. But God is the eternal contemporary. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he can be your God. And he says, I will never leave you. Take it to heart, young people. Nor forsake thee. Romans 8 says, if God is for us or with us, who can be against us? Why do we need to fear? Who can harm us? His presence. We're promised his presence. And if he's with us, what can anyone do to us? Well, number four, what we're promised is acceptance. John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will. Can somebody help me? I will in. Thank you, Leroy. I will in no wise cast out. Acceptance. When we come to him, whenever and whatever's the load and whatever's driving us to distraction, we can come to him. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Our acceptance is not based on race or nationality or on wealth or on our lineage, on our last name, on our class, on intelligence. It's not based on our upbringing or even our feelings about ourselves. Our acceptance isn't based on that. It's based... Our acceptance is based on the promise of God. If you come to me, I'll receive you. Number five is forgiveness. Maybe this one should have been the first one on the list. John 1:9, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is, and I like that, is, as I remember from school days, that's a state of being. It just is. Can't move it. Can't do away with it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, that big word again, all unrighteousness. Takes our sins away. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty solemn. That's pretty serious right there. I sure want to forgive anyone that has trespassed against me because I want my Father to forgive me. I need it so much. Number six is strength. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by the power of God. That's where our strength comes from, through faith. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Not just taking it and dragging through and we're on our last leg and we look like the whole world is on our shoulders. But no, we serve a great God and he's with us. He's forgiven us. He's accepted us. He's given us strength. And we go with joyfulness. Psalm 31, 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, he promised to strengthen us. But we have our part, don't we? And he never will fail. Well, number seven, he promised to come back and take us to eternal life. He told the disciples very familiar verses we probably all know. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'll assure you, I have a desire to stay here quite a bit longer yet if the Lord wills it, and I sure hope He gives me strength and all of that. But the older I get, the brighter it looks on the western horizon. We're nearing home. He is going to come back, and He will gather. It's the cycle of life, and one day He's coming to gather home all His children. He promised that He would. 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." What a promise. Let me ask you, are the toils of life worth it? Can you get new steam this morning to pick up where you are and go as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and dealing with the battles of life, the hard things that come our way, knowing that we didn't come to stay? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I would like to conclude with James 4, verse 8. "Draw near to God, and He," what? Anybody know what the next verse, next word is? "He will," shall. "He shall draw nigh to you." If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. What a promise. What a promise. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." I remind you that God's good will is extended toward us. He wants our response of trust and faith and obedience and love. His arms are open. His ear is listening. And those that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. What a great God. So trust Him in whatever struggle you're having today. And like the song says that we started with, go to the deeps of God's promise. God bless you.